Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5 is your place to listen to the draft coverage. We're going to be live in Kansas City with the Wheelhouse. They'll be out there. And then at 6 right here. We will be at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway. It's between Buffalo Speedway and Wesleyan. Come on by. Brand new place. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Can't wait to go. Me, Jeremy, Brandon, Paul Gallant, Patrick Creighton. We will be bringing you the ESPN 97.5 draft show.
Who is it?
Me, Jeremy, Paul, and Patrick.
The quad squad.
Well, I don't know if that's the quad squad per se.
That's what they're calling you.
It's me and a lot of white people.
You're being called the quad squad.
Aren't we?
Yes. Hmm. That's what you're being called. And I can see you didn't watch Succession yet.
Oh, yeah.
Cousin Greg. So we're the quad squad.
Go get me a coffee. She said, go get me a coffee.
She basically said, go make me a sandwich.
Go make me a sandwich. Don't forget to sign up for our mock draft content when you arrive at Valencia so you can qualify to win a 75-inch TV courtesy of audiovisual consultation. And we're going to give away a $50 gift card to Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. Be the best. Let's see. You better follow Lance's lead on this mock draft thing. Our entire NFL draft coverage presented by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. So, someone 3780-3776. David Duvall joins us. Insperity is going to be here this weekend. So David Duvall is going to join us here on the show in just about 12 minutes, and then Jeff Van Gundy. So we got to get back to Ime Udoka. You got that sound? Okay. Ime Udoka is going to be announced as the Houston Rockets' next head coach. When he got the job with the Boston Celtics, here's Ime Udoka describing how he is going to coach and what his priorities are with the Celtics.
The first thing would be a hard-nosed physicality. You know, you want teams to kind of emulate who you were to some extent as a player, and that's who I was. But if they don't have that, you want to help rub that off onto the players to some extent. And you know, you take a team like Utah, it doesn't matter who the personnel was, you knew what they were going to be with Jerry Sloan. And so some of that is what I look for, but also, you know, unselfish basketball, selfless players. And, you know, I was around one of the biggest with Tim, you know, one of the greatest power forwards of all time, is probably the most selfless individual I've known, especially for a superstar Hall of Famer. And so you try to encourage guys to be that. And, you know, obviously Jason, Jalen, and some of the young guys we have are foundational pieces. And so just help them grow, push them to be great and achieve their potential. And they're all asking for that. And I'll be happy to obviously, you know, be the next guy to push them in that.
I mean, how excited are you to hear that? Physicality, hard-nosed physicality and defense, then unselfishness, just the things that, I mean, Udoka's preaching what championship teams do.
Yeah.
He's preaching championship caliber basketball. Yeah, you can look at the, but, you know, people look at Golden State and they forget Golden State defensively turned it up a couple years ago. And we know they didn't get to who they were until they added Draymond Green, a hard-nosed presence in there. I'm so excited about this. I am so excited about having a coach who demands this, because here's the thing. I think Udoka is going to stand up for what he believes in, and I think ownership is going to have Udoka's back. Like, if there's ever an, even if I think Rafael's done a pretty good job with bringing some talent in here, but it hasn't gelled properly. And I know he loves KPJ, but here's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to blame this on KPJ, but if you break down on the fourth quarter and you don't do what you're supposed to do, come catch this seat. You too, Jalen. We've seen them do it with Shingun. If you don't hustle back on defense, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you got to come here and you got to learn a lesson. And he's the guy that I think ownership understands. They got a guy that they would not have had a chance at if it wasn't for, you know, unfortunate circumstances for him and for whoever he was involved with. But I do know this much. The ownership's going to have his back. So if he says, hey, we got to do this, I don't think if it ever comes down to Rafael wanting something mm-hmm. with a player and Udoka, I think they're going to settle. They're going to side with the coach. And for me personally, I believe personnel stuff should be personnel people, and I believe coaching should be coaching.
Yeah, I don't see Rafael Stone teaching in during Udoka's practices like he was during Silas's, apparently. No. I don't see that at all. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited. This is, I think, maybe the first hard-nosed coach that the Rockets have had. When you look back at the guys that they've had, this may be since Van Gundy. This might be the, you know,
it is
the first hard nosed
Mike D'Antoni. You had no. Kevin McHale. You had Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, Rick. No,
I mean Rick Adelman, rather, not Carlisle. Carlisle's the
Englishman.
Hard ass.
Yeah, Carlisle's Adelman, who's English.
Looks
and
English.
So, yeah. No. And as far as what I heard behind the scenes with D'Antoni. Yeah, D'Antoni was that he just, James ran that team, and that was something. No, D'Antoni was a good, really, really good basketball guy, but the stuff that James got away with that you just can't have. I don't see anybody getting away with anything. Of course, you got a young team. We'll see what star they get. We'll find out what kind of star they're going to get, and they got a potential to getting a star to come in here. And you know what? You need some stars to win in the NBA. You need, and we'll find out what kind of moves that they're able to make now that Udoka is here. Who wants to play for him? Who wants to play in this? Who wants all that money that's up for grabs, like $72 million that's going to be up for grabs with the Houston Rockets? It'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting.
We're going to play the game show that everyone loves. Who wants this cash? people coming in.
But again, it's not a great free agent market out there. They might have to make some moves. They might have to do some trades. We'll see.
This
but
is the
got
end of
so
the...
many assets, though.
What is this?
This
the end
team
of the...
has got a bunch of assets.
It does. Well, most teams I've seen, Rocket teams that had no assets. We saw like 3 years ago, it was James and nobody.
Yeah,
these guys are too old or too expensive. Now you look at it and like people want KJ Martin. They want Jayshon Tate. I mean, it's relative, but right. there's people who want them. Shingun would be a phenomenal asset. Jalen Green would be a tremendous asset. KPJ is tricky because I think people around the league recognize he fills up stat sheets but has not had an impact on winning. And I think there's, you know, a question about his personality.
Right.
But I kind of like the guy. Like, he does things I like. I wish he's just not a – he's caught on a team where he's not a point guard, but he's really talented, man. He's really talented. He rebounds. Like, there's – it's in there. You can see it. I think he needs to be on a team that's not young. I think he needs mentorship more than anything, and that's not this team.
No, it's not.
I think KPJ, frankly, is on a team that's not good for him.
He's got talent. We'll find out. And I think, and we know Rafael Stone likes him, so we'll find out whether or not he said it. I like the kid. While other people were, downing him for and nicking him for his off the court stuff, his discipline stuff. Rafael Stone was backing him as far as his personality goes and his, you know, the kind of kid that he is. So we'll find out whether or not we'll see whether or not he's the point guard of the future. That's a question. Whether or not Shingun is going to still be around is a question. Or if you like it or not, it is a question, because whether or not a Shingun can up his game defensively is a real question mark for this basketball team.
Well, you don't really have a choice with Udoka. I mean, and if you don't, then you better build the defense around Shingun. Like, Udoka could say, hey, he's a special offensive player. But in that case, then you can't really – that's the problem. If you get Wemby, I mean, he can block shots and rebound, but he's not a true center. You almost need to find
a rim Joker running against Wemby right now.
No, yeah, no, that wouldn't be. So if you got, if you don't have Wembanyama, let's say you get the third pick and you take Miller, for example, then I wonder what you're doing with. I mean, well, what you're doing is you're going Miller, Jabari, and Şengün, but you're still ultra young.
Yeah.
Jalen.
No, then, you're going to add some. You're going to add some veteran pieces. There's no question about that. Maybe then you add to the
you
guards.
Think it's a lock that Jabari is a Rocket? Remember, Robert Horry won a championship and he was traded.
Yeah,
and that's who he reminds me of.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Before we get to, we got to go, don't we? We got David Duvall calling at 8:15. Sorry, Todd, we can't get you in here. It's 8:11. We got David Duvall going to call us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, Craig DeSerf.
Craig DeSerf has all the offers for you that you're going to find at LandZCars.com. The Chevy Silverado, you've got 0% financing for, I think it's 5 years right now for well-qualified buyers. And you also have no payments for 90 days. That's pretty cool. When you there's also a cash incentive. I think it's $2,250. That's when you finance through GM Financial. But 0% financing is a great opportunity in a time where you have so many the rates continue to rise on you. You've got 1.9% on the GMC Equinox, which is a midsize SUV. Chevy is a great vehicle for a lot of different types of vehicles. I've got the Chevy Traverse. My wife has Chevy Traverse. I was blown away by the Traverse. I was told I would be, and then we switched my wife over from a different vehicle into the Traverse, and she absolutely loves it. The kids love it. We have the space for the big family. We have the space for road trips, but it handles so smoothly, and the safety features are very important to me, and they've got great safety features. Make sure that you're checking out what they have to offer, all the Chevy vehicles at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC out in Angleton. Go to LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The Insperity Invitational this weekend at the Woodlands Tournament Course. David Duvall coming. The former Shell Houston, 1998 Shell Houston Open champion, along with, well, he was also the champion golfer of the year in 2001. He won the Players as well. But the Shell Houston Open in 1998. The champ is here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. David, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. Okay, if I say 98 Shell Houston Open, what's the first thing that you think of?
Probably shooting 64, final round to win. I think I was either 6 or 7 behind starting the day. So just had a great final day, and just always I've always enjoyed the golf course itself. Just felt like it's just nice. It plays right. It looks good. The routing of it, I've always enjoyed, and so I just always enjoyed being here.
64 in the final day. You woke up that morning because you shot 73 the day before. Wake up that. Did you just feel good? What was when you're feeling it? It just goes right.
Yeah, the third day, it's funny. I couldn't remember if it was 73 or 74, and my caddy had asked me when we were done. He's like, you want to hit a few balls? I'm like, no. No, I'll play better tomorrow. I was just a little bit off today, you know. And I think I was a shot or two behind starting that third round and had that four day. But then, yeah, the final day, just everything kind of clicked. Did a lot of quality golf shots. I believe I eagled both 13 and 15 on the back nine that day. So just one of those things that's a lot of fun, you know, made a really a hell of an up and down on the last hole. Hit it a little bit left off the tee and had to lay up and got up and down from probably about 90 yards to make the par and win the golf tournament.
And beat Jeff Baggert by one, and you needed that. Obviously had to get up and down to win that golf tournament. David Duvall with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You played last week with John Daly. I found that to be an odd pairing. I don't know. I just don't think of John Daly when I think of you. How did that come about?
You know, more than anything, it's just that John's been a friend for nearly 30 years. You know, and I just like the guy. He's we all know the aura of John Daly and all the stuff, but he might be one of the kindest people you'll ever meet in your life. Our sons are friends. They went to daycare on the PGA Tour together, 18 years ago, 17 years ago. And so, just been friends for a long time and have a lot of, very good friends in New Orleans that we've made over the years, going there for 25, 30 years. And, just wanted to play. It sounded fun. We played like absolute dogs. We played so bad. Couldn't make a putt. Hell, we couldn't even hit a golf shot, really. So it's just one of those things. But, man, those kids, it was fun to watch play with Luke Lewis and Henrik Norlander. And, goodness, I mean, I know I did it 25 years ago, but, God, they hit the ball so far. It was so much fun to watch.
Is Daly still hitting with them or no?
Oh, God, no.
No.
He and I are about the – he and I hit it about the same. We can both still get it, 300 yards. But, I mean, Luke Lewis was hitting it 70 yards past us. It was crazy.
That's a different game. He
played, he hit on the ninth hole the first day. It was 197 yards, a little bit into the wind, off the right. I kind of chased a 4-iron back there. He hit 7-iron.
Unbelievable. David DeVall with us here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. This was a big week. We just had the Chevron Championship here last week, and now we've got you guys coming in, the Champions Tour, the Insperity Invitational here in the city of Houston. Hopefully you guys get – they had some rain, intermittent rain, but hopefully we get a good weekend here for you guys. And, the tournament course is just awesome. If you've never been out there, you need to go and see that as well and see these guys play. You're one of the younger guys out there now. How are you are you competing? What do you feel about your game right now competing against these guys?
It's a lot of fun, I didn't really do much tournament play for 8 or 10 years until I turned 50. And so it was a bit of a learning curve. I call it competitive rust. I just was rusty competitively. My golf game itself, I've hit the ball really well this year. Haven't made a single putt. And it's not like you have to be a great putter, but you have to still make some putts and be a good putter. And I just haven't done it this year. I've been working on that. But really feel like the rest of the year could be a good thing for me.
Yeah. Are you still going to do a lot of Golf Channel stuff?
No, I'm going to do probably the PGA Championship for ESPN with Scott Van Pelt, and then Mike McClay, the producer, and that'll probably be it.
That'll be it. Obviously, you decided, hey, Champion Tour is more important. But how'd you like your announcing with because you did a lot of work with the Golf Channel?
Yeah, I did. I did it for about 7 years. I enjoyed it. It kept me in the game. It kept me a part of the game. I'm not one of these players who's 50 plus now, who's grumpy about how far the kids hit it and how good they are. And I think it's wonderful to see. I love what the game's become. I mean, when I turned pro and came out on tour, I was a pretty big person. 6'6", 200 pounds, and now I'm a I'm tiny compared to all these athletes, and they're just big, and they're fast, and they're well-trained, well-prepared, and they're just really, really good at what they do, and it was fun to kind of cover it and be a part of it.
Yeah. There's some differing opinions on maybe limiting the golf ball, having a uniform golf ball. What do you think?
I disagree wholeheartedly with it, and I think that, I guess if the organizations want to produce a ball, that's fine, but you got to make these manufacturers go and retool. And make different balls, I think is wrong. I mean, the game has been popular. It's been exploding ever since COVID. In their infinite wisdom, they want to make it harder. I mean, that makes no sense. The game's hard enough as it is. So let's keep it where it is and just appreciate the athlete. I think Rory McIlroy said it about 5 or 6 years ago, which was great because he was asked the question, are you all better than the players before you? And Rory's answer was something along the lines of, well, yeah, we're meant to be. If we don't learn from the generation in front of us, and improve upon that, then we're failing as players, as athletes. And, you know, it's kind of like comparing, you know, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. It does a disservice to both players, both great, you know. And you can't compare them, different era, different stuff. And I just don't think anything that makes the game harder and potentially take longer is a good thing.
David Duvall with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to have, well, we're just in Greg Norman was talking about maybe a LIV women's tour. Now, what about a LIV champions tour? Is that a possible? Oh, what do you think, for the first time, LIV actually lived up to the billing this past weekend with what happened down with all of the fans that showed up this past weekend? It finally put itself, I think, a little bit on the map.
Maybe. I didn't pay attention to it, you know. Look, I really, in the end, probably don't have a problem with it. But for the players, you know, at least be truthful about why you're doing it. You know, the players carry sponsor bags, wear things on their shirt. It's all corporate stuff, and they're getting paid to do that. And that's the only reason they wanted to do it. I mean, Harold Varner said it. You know, nobody wanted here to grow the game. We all had to go get paid. And that's fine, but I don't like the fact that when you're putting together a series like that, and I imagine Greg was very much involved with putting it together, and then after you do it, you start complaining that you're not getting world ranking points. Well, you knew the criteria before you started. It's right there. It tells you, you know, 72 holes and a cut, and 78 players, and all these things, and then you don't do any of those things. You make like 54 holes, 48 players. Don't complain about that.
That's David Duvall. He's coming here this weekend, and he'll be at the tournament course in the Woodlands competing once again like he did back in 1998 when he won the Shell Houston Open. Man, we really appreciate you being here, David. Have fun this weekend, and everybody get out and see those guys play.
I appreciate you having me. Y'all have a wonderful morning, okay?
You too. David Duvall with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Jeff Van Gundy joins us on the other side right here to talk about Ime Udoka and all these NBA playoffs and everything else going on in the NBA. But first, let's talk a little tequila.
Let's talk about Maestro Dobel, an opportunity for you to take advantage of the very best tequila that you're going to find out there on the market. And why wouldn't you? Maestro Dobel is just phenomenal. They have 11 generations of tequila makers in the family who have been making the tequila, and it's done with a process that really, really puts the standard of ingredients and of aging. This is time tested and approved, and it gets results that are unbelievable. When you sip a tequila, if you got any burn at all, you're not sipping a very good tequila. And with Maestro Dobel, no matter which of their tequilas, and there's multiple to choose from, it's always going to be the same great flavor, the same, now different flavors, different flavor profiles, but you never have that burn. You always have the smoothness, the richness, and of course, just a little hint of sweetness with some of the tequilas on the back end. And that's the difference with Maestro Dobel. Make sure that you go to the website, Maestro Dobel, and you can check out their entire background. But when you're in a liquor store, grab a bottle of Maestro Dobel. I don't care which one you grab, because I promise you, you're going to love it. Añejo is my personal favorite, and the Cristalino. But those are two you can look for if you want to try something a little different. It's Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, Maestro Dobel.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back to the show. Bringing in an old friend of the show, the best in the business at what he does, the best darn basketball announcer in the game today, Jeff Van Gundy, former Rockets coach, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, before we get into Ime Udoka and the Rockets and playoffs and everything else, first off, very first thing, what kind of phone are you calling us on now? Did you upgrade to an iPhone, or are you still one of the poors?
No, I'm Samsung now. Yeah.
Samsung now?
Yeah.
So has it changed your life getting off the flip phone?
You know, there's been some positives and negatives. The negative is that I spend too much time looking at worthless videos that have no impact on my life. The positive is I actually don't have to spend 3 minutes texting off a flip phone where I just, you know, you have to keep hitting the same key to right. get to the letter you want. So positives and negatives.
There are positives and negatives.
You got TikTok now.
You don't have TikTok.
Reels and
you
whatever.
Have TikTok.
You know, the worthless no, videos.
No, but you know what's funny? There's something out there. Like if I type something in, the next thing that comes up is some suggestion of, or not just typing, if I'm thinking about it or talking about it, it comes up. It's weird.
Well, your phone is listening. It's smarter. Hey, I found out that my keys to my truck are a lot smarter than I am, and now I'm finding out, yeah, my phone is a lot smarter than I am as well, Coach. I could have locked my keys in the car. I can't tell you. I would be Lance right now if it wasn't how smart those keys are. And then the second question is, who do the Texans take with the second pick?
But you know what's interesting is, like, they say Bryce Young is gone, right? He's going to be out. I have no problem if they take the guy from Alabama and then trade up and get Richardson from Florida. I'm all in. I want to have three dual-threat quarterbacks on my team. That's how I want to build my fantasy team, knowing that everybody's going to get hurt in my new system of, like – running quarterbacks that can also throw, but that's my belief. I want to have three runners and passers and then be able to, like, play all three as guys get hurt and come back.
You missed your calling. You should have been an NFL GM.
Well, I got to say that right now I'm delusional about how good we can be next year, the Texans. I'm thinking we're going to make one of the greatest jumps if we get the right quarterback. But then I'm saying to myself, it's quite possible that Case Keenum starts opening day.
It is.
It's
I like him. I like him.
No.
I think he's good.
It absolutely. They
could pass on quarterback if they don't. And that's the thing, Coach. I think that you've been in this position before. You've got to – the quarterback position is such a – it's unlike any other sport. I mean, there's five starters in baseball. You've got – in basketball, you've got, you know, your top scorer. And I guess if you want to build a team around like a James Harden, you have to really believe in a James Harden. But at the quarterback position, if you don't believe in a guy, that is just – like, you can't take guys that you don't believe in the first round at quarterback. I don't think you can.
And are we, like, you study this a lot more than I do, but do you believe in any of them to the extent that you would use a second pick on them?
Well, I mean, only Bryce Young. Like, I have real questions about all these guys. No. And it's that's the concern is at some point you may have to sit down and make a pick on a guy you're not quite as convicted on, but you don't want to reach, that's for sure. But what about the excitement of – I don't think we talked to you since D'Amico Ryans was hired. The excitement that he brought to city. I'll tell you, between Udoka with the Rockets and D'Amico Ryans, I think you got a couple of guys that stress the right things and that really are bringing juice back to these two organizations.
And we also realized that stops if there isn't better personnel.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So – you can be excited. I love D'Amico Ryans as a player. I'm sure he's a really good coach. He obviously had great success in San Francisco, but he needs better players, like, and a lot more of them. And so I've always felt like the general managers of these teams, the people who are picking the players, are the most important people in the organizations. Because if they pick the right guys, coaches have a chance. If they don't, you got no shot. And so I'm happy for D'Amico Ryans. I didn't love how they treated David Culley and Lovie Smith. I didn't love that. Ime Udoka, I think, is going to be taking over a far better and far different situation than Steven Silas inherited. And I think Steven Silas, the way he conducted himself in Houston – like he set a really great example for all aspiring coaches when faced with incredibly challenging circumstances. And I admire him greatly for that.
Jeff Van Gundy with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got to see Ime Udoka up close in the NBA Finals last year. Tell us about what did you see in him?
Well, when I was coaching Houston, he came through for one of those workout type things. So I sort of knew him as a player. Then I worked with him at USA Basketball, both in the World Cup and the Olympics. And then, obviously following him when we broadcast. And he is a tremendous coach. And he's got a great mind. He is a bit more reserved. And I think that allows him to analyze situations and people very well. He's very good with people of, coaches, players, administrators. And so I think he's like the entire package. I think, they interviewed some great, great candidates with the Rockets. They chose Ime, and Ime, you can't do better than him. He's just a terrific guy. I like him personally very, very much. And I think everybody recognizes that he is a special coach.
Coach, we know that in watching you, John mentioned that this is the first kind of hard-nosed coach the Rockets have maybe had since you were coaching here, who's going to stress defense. Stress and accountability is essential. Obviously, one of the things that Kelvin Sampson said, Dennis Lindsay, I'd mentioned this to Dennis that Kelvin said it. He said Sampson is 100,000% correct in this. He said the key to changing a culture and to getting on the right track is not being afraid of confrontation. You have to embrace confrontation if you want to get to where you need to go. Do you agree, or what are your thoughts on that? And B, do you think Udoka has enough of that in him to? Because I think that's a big issue with the Rockets right now.
So Bill Parcells put it very similarly to Kelvin. Confrontation clears the air. When you say confrontation, the first reaction by most people is that that's a negative. That means, this is going to be a negative interaction. But all it is whatever, from a play or an attitude or a punctuality, professionalism issue, all you're doing is confronting something that you believe as a coach is getting in the way of winning and giving that player his best chance to succeed and your team the best chance to succeed. And the problem with accountability is a lot of players believe in it for others. Like, go hold those guys accountable. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And so it's imperative that your best players want that structure, want that discipline, want those moments of accountability and confrontation so that it improves them. And thus, if you can do that with your best players, everyone else falls in line. I absolutely think Ime, you remember back to last year, to that season, they were 500 in January. And so he had to adjust, adapt, confront, and then they went from being a very, because of injuries and some other situations, a very average team to becoming the best team in basketball all the way up till the finals when they weren't able to complete the task against Golden State. But he definitely has a fiery but controlled side, and I have no doubts that he's going to put the Rockets players in their best possible position to win. But to do that, they have to be open and voluntarily cooperate with what he sees as the reasons they haven't been as successful as they have hoped.
Well, they've been so young, Coach. Jeff Van Gundy with us this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So young. Now they've got some money to spend. How much of that locker room and that culture is created by the coach, and how much by veteran players that make the other guys accountable too?
Yeah, I'm not sure veteran players in and of itself, like older guys, some guys are very jaded. Some veterans, you don't want them anywhere near your guys, right, that are impressionable. So it's like anything else. It's the right young guys. It's the right mid-tier veterans. It's the right older veterans. And I don't see that any huge player of, like, no star is necessarily coming to the rescue. But what I think they can really do is add, like, the right pieces that not only can help them play better on the floor with those qualities, but lift the young players up to a certain work habits, coachability, team first mindset. All of that is just as important. You know, Green and Porter, Sengun, all the young players that they've had, all they've done in the NBA is lose. And so they've got to determine the Rockets, management, ownership, and Ime. They've got to determine who they believe have gone through all this losing but still are winning-type players. And then the guys that they don't think are winning-type players, they've got to move along. And to me, that's where the – doesn't even have to be an older guy, but like a 28 to 32-year-old that's – shown that he's able to fit in and contribute, but also set the right example. Those are the type of free agents I think they're more likely to sign than some home run. Maybe, I've heard James Harden comes back in the return. I don't see that as, a big possibility. So I think they have to keep incrementally building towards where they want to go.
Jeff Van Gundy here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Quickly, before and we love having you on here. We didn't want to take up all your time here this morning. Who's most impressed you this playoff so far in these young playoffs so far?
Well, I think I love the Sacramento Golden State series. That's been incredibly enjoyable. It's just sad that Houston's own De'Aaron Fox is hurt right now, and hopefully he can play with that finger injury in Game 5, because that's been an absolutely thrilling series so far. I've enjoyed both of those teams very, very much. I think Memphis has been the team that's disappointed me, not because of their play, but I think they're getting in their own way.
Yeah.
That's what I want to ask you about. Dylan Brooks, it's one thing to embrace, and then Dylan Brooks has clearly embraced this villain role, and then he blamed the media and the fans for creating the villain role, that he didn't do that. But, I mean, clearly he revels in that. But, I mean, there's just something about poking a player like LeBron James at this stage of the playoffs. It's just so counterproductive.
Well, I think it distracts from winning. Whenever you do something, and listen, LeBron James might have come out and they probably would have played a great game 3. So I'm not saying that LeBron James, we always want to have these narratives. LeBron James was inspired by Dylan Brooks's words. Maybe, maybe not. I think LeBron James may be above that. But what I do think it does is it takes Dylan Brooks' focus away from just playing good, solid, winning basketball. I don't understand going at the other team like with words. Just play the game. Go at each other hard on the court, but being disrespectful of arguably one of the top 3 players to ever play the game, I just see it as counterproductive. I see it as getting in your way and creating narratives that takes away from the team versus adding to the team. And then also, if you're Dylan Brooks, you got to play better, a lot better.
Are you worried at all about your Astros so far?
Sure. Absolutely. My mom and dad are living in the Orlando area.
and they're huge Tampa Bay Rays fans. And my mom, like, wants to fire the manager after every loss. Like, so it's like, you know, she's no different. She wants to blame coaches all the time, too. It's crazy, right? So I'm worried about our pitching. I'm worried about, you know, do we have enough? Have we taken too much away from the talent base and not added enough too? So certainly I'm a little concerned, but particularly because of how good Tampa Bay is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you know what? We start this way. Astros start this way every year, Coach. And you know what? They get through. Now, you don't have Verlander anymore, Correa, Springer, Morton. You know, there's a lot of guys that are gone.
Morton's been gone a while.
Yeah, but.
No, but we you know, you have these talent drains. And because management has always done such a great job with the Astros in replacing it, you always think, you know, you're going to come out of it. And, you know, sometimes you do, and sometimes you lose guys that, like, it's just too hard to replace. And so, man, Verlander leaving was crushing to me. Like, I loved watching him compete. So him and Clemens, to me, have been my two favorite guys to watch compete.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy with us here this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, great talking to you. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking time during the playoffs. We know you're busy, so we really appreciate that.
Thanks, Coach.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right. There's Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Best in the business. Best analyst in the business today. Who's, if you've gotten into an accident, who do you call?
Well, I'm not, I mean, I could call Jeff Van Gundy, and he'll say, I think that's terrible. I think there's way too many people running red lights at this time. But then I'll call John Daspit, yeah, and I'll say, hey, John, I was just hit by a guy who ran a red light and I'm all jacked up and whatever. Maybe my wife has to call because I'm in the hospital. Can you imagine that? And then the first thing you're going to worry about is the people who got hurt in an auto accident. The second thing you're going to worry about is the logistics of the whole matter, your insurance and all that. Then you're just going to realize, oh, man, we've got hospital bills to pay. Let's say you've broken a hip or whatever. You're going to have physical therapy. You're going to have surgery. You're going to have all the stuff that goes into that. How much time are you missing from work? How much pain and suffering are you in the middle of right now? You did nothing wrong, and yet you're having to suffer through this. And what the insurance companies, the lawyers for insurance companies, they try to get the lowest settlement possible. That's kind of, I guess that's, you know, how they handle it. And John Daspit is there as kind of checks and balances. His company, or his law firm, Daspit Law Firm, 10 offices around the state of Texas, their check and balance is that they understand what the proper settlement should be. And if they see somebody getting squeezed and bullied, they step in and will work for you to make sure that you do not get bullied. He is the guy that people call for the larger settlements to, like when there's been really terrible, the refinery blast and the Astroworld, you know, concert thing that happened that was so awful. And, you know, every case in between, John Daspit's going to be honest, fair, and will fight for you. Daspit Law Firm. Call him today at 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't even want to hear that.
Honestly, I just told John, it wouldn't shock me if Stetson Bennett ends up with more wins as a starter than Will Levis. And the reason I say that is because if Levis goes to a good team and busts, which is, you know, possible, Stetson, and it's really less about Levis and more about Bennett. Let's imagine the same thing that happened with Brock Purdy happens with Stetson Bennett. He ends up being the seventh round pick of the Miami Dolphins. And Tua gets hurt, and Stetson Bennett ends up as a third stringer but finds his way on the field in Mike McDaniel's offense with you know, those weapons over there like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Can you imagine? And all he's just doing is throwing it to space, just delivering the ball, staying on time. All of a sudden, this guy we're talking about, how did Stetson Bennett, how did he make it here? How did he slip to this? And look at all this.
I said this yesterday. We're all going to go, why did we just ignore Stetson Bennett?
Stetson Bennett was 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in his playoff games and SEC championship
games. Would Brock
games.
Purdy be a sensation if he wasn't with Kyle Shanahan?
No.
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 He's in the perfect situation. You know what? As great as Patrick Mahomes is, he's in a perfect situation.
I think
if
it's
he had
a combination.
Come to the Texans, Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be the greatest player in the game today.
I think Pat Mahomes would have been Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun was really, really good too. I think Pat Mahomes is going to be independent of your scheme.
No, but he went to Andy a perfect Reed, place.
Yeah, and I think Andy Reid helped him mature as a quarterback. But if Stetson Bennett, for example, a guy who just knows how to deliver the ball with consistency, well, it's a little inconsistent on tape actually, but in the big games, he played really well, ran really, really, really well. And he gets with weapons and with Mike McDaniel. I could see him. I could see them drafting him in the 7th round as a backup, and all of a sudden it works. You know, not as that they need a bigger quarterback guy, but here's a, you know, Tua's injury stuff. I'm going to make a bold prediction. You know what? I'm going to cook.
Oh.
I'm going to cook. RJ. Real quick, is RJ in there?
RJ's in there.
Yeah. RJ, can you get ready for me to cook? He's actually, I think, cutting something up right now.
Yeah, but he needs you to cook.
Yeah.
Ready?
Can you let me cook right now?
I'm gonna say right now. Let
so I believe that there is a good chance.
He just did let him cook while you were talking have headphones.
Okay, yeah, I don't have headphones. I left them at home. I believe that there is a very good chance that Tua will be out of the league within 2 years due to concussion issues.
Oh.
I said let him cook!
I don't think you're cooking with... I think you're cooking... You're not cooking with gas there.
Is that it?
There's no gas.
Should he have maybe played let him cook?
He did play it twice.
No, the little one.
Oh, yeah. That one was
more
of
a... That was probably just let him cook.
Let him cook now!
That's more like it.
Yeah.
That was not a bold, let him cook.
It's not?
No.
That he'll be out of the league?
The dude who had 5 last year?
He didn't have 5 concussions.
How many did he have?
He had probably, well, he hurt his back and then fell down.
He fell off a ladder?
He hurt his back, and people tried to say it was a concussion, but clearly it wasn't, even though the doctor got fired.
Yeah.
So then he had that one against the Bengals.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
You know, I was going back looking at my...
The guy who fell down twice or 3 times last year?
You know what my scouting report... I'd forgotten about this. Durability was an issue with him. He had been hurt with high ankle sprain. He had been hurt with shoulder. Yeah. Like, there was a durability concern of his coming into the league.
What about his hip thing?
Yeah, the hip thing. Yeah, there was... Durability
well,
was
now
the
he
concern.
Took a massive hit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but he takes a lot of massive hits.
Well, no. Apparently, if you touch him, he's going to be... No, that's not a... Listen... I think the Dolphins have to draft a quarterback wherever it is, whomever it is, and Mike McDaniel can do something with him. Yes, I would love to be in that. Are you kidding? Oh, give me Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel and Jalen Waddle and are you kidding me? What a great position for a young quarterback to be in. I mean, I know Tua played really, really well, but I don't think you got to be. You don't have to be Joe Montana to play great in the Dolphins offense. And, you know, they've got weapons and they've got a great coach who's gonna
just
teach
steer the ship.
Play. Yeah, that's all.
Just steer the ship. And I think that's what Stetson Bennett can do.
What if the Texans trade Davis Mills there?
Yeah, I think Davis Mills might do well there. Look, it's not a magic offense where everybody who goes there is amazing. That's actually not it. Or everyone would run it if it was that easy.
Right.
But I think Davis Mills could end up... Well, you've already said, you already cooked yesterday and said Davis Mills is going to end up being your quarterback in the future.
And he's going to be, yeah.
Do you know, supposedly Darren Revelle said that all of a sudden out of nowhere, Will Levis has gone 10-1 to be the first pick of the draft now. And all I can think of is there any chance? Because late line moves I pay attention to. I pay no attention to early line moves. Late line moves, I'm like, huh.
Something.
somebody is betting something or something. Like the concern
it's number of hits on Twitter by Jeremy Branham that's moving the line.
Well, is there any chance at all that Levis has been the guy and they have gone on a sales campaign for when they realized that Houston wanted Young, that everything has been Young, trying to get Houston, because they knew Houston, Ryan Poles let it out, that Houston tried to trade a first to move up.
Okay, what organization would put all of that those assets into moving up to number one to get Will Levis? What about what on tape told them, I have to have me a Will Levis?
Well, you get one of your first-rounders back. You get one of your first rounders back because
you trade with the Texans.
Because you get a first rounder next year. Yeah. So let me just throw this is just a
well we got a break. Do it on the other side.
I'll run you through the not a conspiracy theory. I'll just run you through what it would take for all this crazy stuff to happen.
Well, it's crazy if you buy your Ford from anyone else other than Chastain Ford right now. April's goal: get rid of all those F-150s, Bronco Sports, Escapes, Expedition, Explorers. They're in stock, ready for delivery right now. You don't have to wait when you order. The 2022 year models take advantage of 0% financing for 36 months right now at Chastain Ford. 0% on 22s for 36 months. Take advantage of purchasing an F-150 and receive up to $1,000 in accessories. Purchase a Bronco Sport or Escape, receive up to $500 in accessories. They have F-150 Lightnings available at MSRP on the lot right now. I love mine. Love mine. It's the best vehicle I've ever had. I love my Lightning. I was in another car while it was getting fixed. Somebody ran a red light and hit me, right? So I had to get it fixed. I was in another one. I was like, can't wait to get my F-150 Lightning back. I swear. I love it. You'll love it too. Order banks are now open on F-150s, Bronco Sports, Explorer, Expedition. No markups. Do not pay MSRP. Order vehicles. No add-ons on order vehicles. No add-ons, period. They never do that. What they're going to do is get you that Ford in the right price for you. Perfect for your every month payment. So you're looking for that Ford car or truck? There's one place to go on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown, ChastainFord.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.